Thanks for listening to this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. This sermon was based upon the lectionary readings for the day. To stay connected at Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check us out on the web. Thanks for listening, and stay connected.
All right, boys and girls, I know there are more of you out there. I can see you. You're hiding. Come join us this morning, right here, right here. No, yes. I'm not as scary as I look, I promise. I really need your help. And even if you stayed in the pew, maybe you can help me. You can still speak out loud if you know the answer, okay? So, I wonder, how many of you like to draw? And if I asked you right now, if I had a big piece of paper and said, let's draw a picture of a table, how many of you know what you would do? Okay. And how about a chair? You draw a chair? Or how about a puppy? Or a kitty cat? Or a cow? What's your favorite thing to draw?
Sports.
My
favorite thing is to draw a field of flowers.
A field of flowers.
A giraffe.
A what?
A horse.
A horse.
Berries.
And a rainbow. Wow. Well, I wonder, what would you draw if I asked you to draw a picture of love?
A heart?
I draw hearts floating everywhere.
Hearts floating everywhere with the word love. Anything else? Hearts in the shape of a heart. You all are very creative. Is it easier to draw the giraffe and the sports than it is, and the horse, than to draw love? No. Now, of course, you say that. But if I were to ask the big adults in the room who have forgotten how to be creative, I bet they would say it's harder to draw love. Let me look and see. Do you think so? Harder to draw love. Yes, they're all shaking their heads, especially the more senior among us. They're shaking their head big time. Well, I would like to say to you that I think drawing the giraffe and the horse and the sports and drawing love should be the same. Because as Christians, we believe that love is incarnate in one another. Love isn't this thing that's just floaty around, although I love the idea of floating hearts. It really is something that exists between us. And so if you want to draw a picture of love, you draw a picture of your parents or your grandparents or your best friend or your teacher, or Jesus. Because we know love, boys and girls, through real life, through real people. So, I have an assignment for you. If the sermon that we're getting ready to start is really boring, you can go back to your seat and draw a picture of love. If you like the sermon, you can go home and do it for homework. How about that? All right? Okay. So, next week, those of you that are here, could you bring me a picture of love and just show it to me? That'd be great. Some of you can, some of you can't. But think about that. And for those of you who are not this age and not seated on the floor, I want you to picture love in your mind, in your heart, in your soul right now. Picture it. Now live with that every day. You may go back to your seats. We've all loved, haven't we? We're human, so we love. It's a part of who we are. But you know something? There's something strange about falling in love, isn't there? Because once you fall in love, you discover something that will either become a blessing, a kind of blessed mystery, or it will become a terrible curse. It depends on how you accept this one important and remarkable fact about love. And here it is. The more you know your beloved, the more you realize you will never know them completely. Hard fact, isn't it? So, for those of you who've been sleeping next to the same person for 32 years, you already realize that you're always one elusive step away from that person. And they're always one elusive step away from you. They're incomplete. It doesn't matter how hard you try, you will never know them fully. That person that lit up the sky for you, who still, well, sips coffee with you in the morning, well, that person will always be partial in your heart. Or think about that friend, that amazing best friend that you have. Maybe a friend since the days of the merry-go-round. Somebody that's always been in your sight. Well, you know the same is true with them. And so I believe that every one of us in this room right now understand that sometimes the husband does something so unpredictable, your mouth drops open in disbelief. Like the time he went out and bought a $200 tool that could only be used one time, but it just seemed like the thing to do. It was so cool. Or perhaps he went out and bought a car unannounced. Or, well, how about this one? I remember when my father did this. He went out in the backyard and dug a hole for no apparent reason. And it just stayed there for days and days. It didn't matter that it cut the electrical cord underneath the ground that went to our neighbor's house. And, you know, women, you might do the same thing. I remember, well, the time my mom took up tennis lessons having never hit a court before. Or the time that she just took off with a friend from college because she could one weekend. It's just what you do when you love life. Or think of that friend or partner of yours who has never baked and never cooked but shows up one day with a massive bag from Williams-Sonoma and tears through your kitchen making cookies all afternoon and leaving you with a mess to clean up. We've all loved someone. We've all given ourselves over to that person, and we all know well and good that we will never know that person of our deepest affection fully. Period. Fact of life. So in today's gospel lesson, when we hear Jesus say to the disciples, love one another, you know, he's not delivering a sermon to a bunch of Episcopalians in a perfect liturgy. No, he's talking to his friends, people that he has been with, people that have been with him for years now. And this commandment, while lifted out of context for us this morning, well, this commandment that is given in the midst of love disappointing, love surprising, love betraying. For this commandment to love one another comes, yes, just three verses after the ultimate betrayal. Judas giving Jesus over to be crucified. Judas had been with Jesus for 3 years. Think about it. They had to have loved one another. And at some point, Judas, the one we don't talk about too often, Judas was deeply trusted. After all, he was the treasurer, right? He was the treasurer of the vestry. He was trusted with all they had, the common purse. Surely he had some qualification. We don't really know what happened to their love, do we? We don't know what brought such deep betrayal. We could guess that Judas became somehow discouraged with the teachings of Jesus. We could guess that Judas maybe wanted a different kind of kingdom. Maybe he wanted a different Messiah, a different ruler, one with more power. Maybe he didn't want to wander around anymore with a prophet and a bunch of makeshift followers. Judas probably also had some connections, don't you think, to some powerful people who were willing to pay for information so they could figure some things out about Jesus? We do know that from the rest of the story. But why had their love failed? Why did Jesus and Judas stop laughing together? Why did they stop sharing meals? Why did they stop pouring the wine and straining it clear? Hadn't Judas shared that same love, that life with the disciples, with James and John and Peter and Matthew and all the others? Can't you see them fishing together there on the Sea of Galilee? Can't you see Judas telling Jesus a joke? Can you see them lying down in the hot sun of the afternoon under a shade tree, or stopping for a picnic, or even a dip in the pond? Love had walked among them. Love had talked among them. And yet for some reason, Judas could not trust. And instead, he lost sight of the fact that love is never known fully, that is a given. And he began to see it as a curse, not a blessing. But here's the amazing thing. Jesus took the risk anyway. Calling together 12 people to agree on ministry was tough and hard work. Well, we shouldn't be too surprised it's hard to call together 2,500 for the same thing, should we? But love is always worth the risk, isn't it? It just is. Love is worth the disagreement and the discussion, the time when you cannot sleep because your love is so deep and so passionate that your disagreement keeps your mind racing and running through all hours of the morning. Love is worth the disappointment and the failure, especially when love can see them through and never give up on the possibility of hope and endurance. Don't hear me wrong. Sometimes love dies. It just does. Sometimes it cannot endure because the two cannot find common life anymore. And because there can be challenges to loving as God created us to be. But the commandment that Jesus gives is focused on the community of the church and celebrating one another in this place. And so I look to you this morning and ask you, how do you risk loving one another? How do you, as the people of Holy Innocence, risk the love of God in Christ Jesus incarnate in the person next to you on the pew? What's it like to wake up with them Sunday after Sunday? What's it like to sip a cup of coffee with the person here gathered in this space? Do you want your love to become more predictable and uniform, prescriptive? Or do you want your love to explode more broadly in this place where it is safe to love, where it is safe to go and dare to be the people God created you to be? Do you dare to love people who are not like you? Do you dare to love people who have never stepped foot in a church? Do you dare to take the good news of Jesus Christ outside these walls, not just seeing love divine within the nave, but in your very life within the community? I ask you, the disciples gathered here this morning, this community of daring believers and followers in Jesus, to love with wild abandon, to love each other like you've never loved each other before, and to reach forward into the world like you've never reached before. Expanding the boundaries of your hearts into Sandy Springs, into neighborhoods where we have no members, and into schools where our current children do not attend. We can dare to be transformed people. We can dare to live as Jesus lived, knowing that at times we'll be betrayed, abandoned, and sold for silver. But let us not go through life in this place with shallow relationships. Let us dare to trust the splendid, true, beloved community that will always be one elusive step ahead of us in Christ. For a new kingdom, a new commandment, Jesus is giving to you to love one another. To love one another. It is risky business, isn't it? But on this side of the story, on this side of the betrayal, on this side of the crucifixion and burial, we know that love can resurrect anything. And as risky as it is, it's not as risky as we thought. This love so amazing, so divine, that demands our soul, our life.